From the rugged desert outside Yuma, Arizona, this is Outpost Outspoken. Outpost Outspoken is the official podcast of U.S. Army Yuma Proving Ground, which conducts natural environment testing of military equipment in Arizona, Alaska, and the tropics.
Welcome to Outpost Outspoken. I'm your host for this segment, Anna Henderson. Today, Aviation Test Officer Gene Walters joins me. Gene is highly respected, and I'm honored to have him on the podcast. Welcome, Gene.
Thank you.
Now, you started your career at YPG in 1987, and prior to that, you were in the Army. Tell me what led you to YPG.
Upon completion of my service in the Army, I was speaking with one of my grandparents' neighbors down here, and he recommended I should apply for YPG. I eventually found out he was a sergeant major of the post. He had never told me that the entire time I knew him. So I applied and got a job with Aircraft Armament in 1987, and I've been here ever since.
Tell me about an aircraft armament gunner.
It's not a whole lot different from what the aircraft weapons guys do today. We loaded rockets, ground firing, testing the 275 Hydra rocket system, worked on aircraft loading. At the time, it was AH-1 Cobras, and the Apache was brand new. We did a little on that, but it took a few years before we were allowed to do too much with that. The contractors maintained control of that aircraft pretty tight.
So an aircraft will come in, and then your team will make sure that they're equipped with the weapon system and then loaded. Is that correct?
Typically, the aircraft arrive here for testing. The PM's office or the contractor providing the aircraft for the test will arrive with it. Our job was to load the aircraft, do basic maintenance on it for the weapon systems, assist with operations downrange, put up roadblocks to keep the test areas safe, report all that to the test officer, and kind of coordinate everything for them down on the armament pad or the FARP, the forward arming refueling point.
Sometimes you guys have odd hours, is that correct?
Yes. Rocket lot acceptance testing a lot of time is done really early in the morning, especially for flares or other items. A lot of times it's done to deconflict schedules with the rest of the range. So the gunners will be in at 2, 3 in the morning to fire the test, and by the time everyone else gets in at 0700, it's mission complete, and they're cleaning up and moving off the range for the day.
During this time, you obviously gained a lot of experience with aircraft, and then you ended up moving over to aviation systems and becoming a test officer. Can you tell me a little bit about that transition and also what you do as a test officer?
Absolutely. I believe in 1999, I became the supervisor of the aircraft armament section. There was a shortage of test officers in aviation systems, so I mentioned to Pat Franklin I thought I could do more to assist him, and he moved me right over and started assigning me duties, and he's the one who kind of pushed me forward into being a test officer.
Explain what a test officer does. I know it's hard to explain because there's so many different pieces to it, but what is your main purpose?
The test officer's job is to coordinate the testing on YPG. We do everything from making initial contact with the customer. They'll call us and discuss what they want to do or what they would like to do. Conducting cost estimates, monitoring funds, starting the test, scheduling, ordering ammunition out, shipping and receiving, making sure all the items arrive and get shipped out at completion of test, writing test plans, reports, coordinating support elements to be out on the site. It's just a lot of coordination. Everybody else really does the work when you're a test officer. You just make sure everybody's scheduled to do what you need them to do.
You coordinate all of their support. And that's one thing that you had mentioned to me earlier, how one program involves just a ton of people. It's never one person doing the job.
Absolutely. Everybody at YPG plays a part. Every single support element on the post, even people you typically don't think of, have their part to play. And they're the ones who get it done. We ask for their help, you know, scheduling the high-speed guys. I'll tell them what I want, what I would like to have, and they always get it done. They're the subject matter experts in that field. Same with the radar guys or TV or the ammo plant guys. They'll get you what you need. You just have to articulate to them what they need to know, provide them the information. We're responsible for figuring out what the customer's needs are and relaying that information to everybody at asking range scheduling to get on the schedule, asking range safety to approve your surface danger zones if you're doing a firing test or maybe a laser test. And that's across everything, not just aviation. The entire post does that. So the support guys are really the critical part of YPG.
Can you tell me the different types of aircraft you have flown in?
Typically, it's just the Army-provided aircraft. I've been on the Black Hawk quite a bit and the Hueys. prior to that, the UH-1s before we lost those. I've been in a bunch of them, CH-47s, fixed wing, AH-6s. I've managed to score a couple rides in those. And then we get to see a lot of aircraft out here that are not typical, not standard to the U.S. military. So I've seen a few foreign things that are kind of neat that most people never get the opportunity to look at.
Tell me about the different aircraft that you've tested.
We've done everything from just about every rotary wing aircraft the Army has. We've tested them. The Marine Corps, we've done a lot with the AH-1W and the AH-1Z. UH-1 Yankee was out here for an operational evaluation with us. Air Force has had their MH-53s out for degraded visual environment with the sensor guys. Same with the Marine Corps, yeah, the Ospreys and their 53s. Seen the 53 Kilo, which is the Marine Corps' new big heavy lift helicopter. Just about everything you think of the U.S. military for a rotary wing aircraft has come through here one time or another.
Are you one of those people that if you hear, you don't have to see it, but if you hear an aircraft, you know what kind it is?
Pretty much. Every once in a while, one will throw me, especially if there's a couple of them flying together, but for the most part, I can tell what they are without looking at them.
I think that's amazing. Tell me about some of the big tests that you've worked on.
Oh, over the years, we've done a lot of missile firing programs. We developed one with CRAM several years ago. The AI-3 was a huge effort. We had almost everybody on post tied up in that one. A lot of Hellfire and JAGM work. We fired Stinger missiles, TOW, just to help a couple of the other test officers in our branch do a Javelin test. Those guys did exceptional work. Gun firing, a lot of 30-millimeter gun firing off both aircraft and hard stands. A lot of guided rocket work. We've done APKWS, Talon. Seen a few other foreign ones. Dagger, small diameter munitions. Back in the day, we shot a few archers and arrows. A lot of anti-tank stuff. The old TOWs, we used to do quite a few of those. That's kind of gone away, but Hellfire throughout its entire life cycle, and then now we're starting to work on JAGM, which is a new replacement anti-tank guided missile for the helicopters that's starting to come online.
What do you enjoy about your job?
Actually, yeah, getting to see a lot of unique things. Going downrange, I like being outside. I like being out in the field. Probably way more than I do the office, but the office is a big part of it now. There's been a lot of history here at YPG, too. I'm always curious about that, always trying to find out what was done here in the past before I got here. A lot of the guys who were here when I first started, long since retired, had told me a lot of stories about the Cheyenne back in the early 70s, late 60s. Things have gotten really kind of interested in what we've done here and where it's going. I try to stay, I guess you could say I'm interested in the military technology, how it's evolved through the entire thing, always kind of with an aviation lean toward it. I've always been really interested in military aircraft and how they're evolving.
You mentioned people that you've worked with in the past. You know, you've been here 37 years at this point. Has there been any influential people in your career?
Yes, there's a lot of them. Learned a lot from quite a few. Some of them have retired, but a lot of them are still here, too. Pat Franklin, the branch chief for Flight Services Divisions, he helped me a lot, provided me a lot of learning experience. This is just about everyone in my division, every boss I've ever had in aviation systems has just been excellent to work for. I couldn't ask for a better working environment or better people. I've worked for Robin Teodden for the last, I think, 11 years. She's been the branch chief, just exceptional, always willing to help out, always going an extra mile for us, helping all the people. I mentioned Pat Franklin working for Jeff Rogers and Ross Gwynn. Couldn't ask for better bosses. They'll support you in everything you do. Whatever you need, they're more than willing to go the extra mile to get you what you need and assist you. And that goes for everybody on YPG. I don't think I've ever had anybody who didn't try to help. Even if they don't give you a yes right away, they'll try to figure out a way to get you there, where we need to be. Everybody kind of comes together and tries to get the mission done, and that's another thing I really enjoy about this place. The willingness of everybody to assist in completing the mission.
Your peers and fellow test officers all had very nice things to say about you as well. Recently, a fellow test officer, Charlie Saltz, said she wanted to be like Gene 2.0. And then Ross Gwynn chimed in. He said that you're a motivator for all of your team. How did hearing that feel?
That felt pretty good. Charlie's she's kind of following a similar path. She started out here as a gunner, and a position to open up for test officer, and she applied for it, and now she's kind of running the Hydra rocket program, which is kind of where I started when I moved into being a test officer. So it's high praise, and I really appreciate the sentiment, and I expect great things from everybody out of that office down there. They're all a lot of smart people, a lot of hard workers.
Well, they all definitely respect you. I wanted to mention this because this is such a huge honor. In 2015, you were a recipient of the Order of St. Michael Award. The induction to the Order of St. Michael is intended to recognize individuals who have contributed significantly to the promotion of Army aviation in ways that stand out in the eyes of the recipient's seniors, subordinates, and peers. When you were presented with this, it was a surprise. So tell me how this happened.
I believe, once again, it was Pat Franklin who put me in for the award. I really appreciate that. It was an honor I never expected. It was a complete surprise. I got up to the hangar thinking it was a division safety meeting and was confused at first until Grant Ware, who was the director at the time, finally informed me. But I quite shocked, and I really appreciate it. But once again, it was everybody else in YPG who got me there. Nobody does anything by themselves out here. The entire team kind of has allowed me to get where I'm at now, or to achieve my position. I count on everybody else to do almost everything. I need the RM ladies to help me with the funding, the high-speed guys to figure out camera setups, the TV guys to get microwave back to the rock so we can do the mission. Same with the range combo guys. They take care of getting all that data to pipe back. The TV sends out. So it was really nice to receive the recognition and the award, but everybody out here made that possible for me. I don't do that by myself, or I've never looked at it that way. I just guess I got lucky on that one, got the recognition.
Gene, it is it's refreshing to hear how much you really appreciate your peers and the team out here at YPG. It really does take everyone here, and everyone does play a role. Thank you again for what you did for the Army when you served and what you're doing for the Army now as a test officer in aviation. And thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you.
Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. The Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey is an annual assessment of how personnel view their workplace. Since 2016, YPG's effort to collect this information has been led by Executive Services Officer Jim Stickney. Who's eligible to take the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey?
So the Department of the Army civilians, all of the Department of the Army civilians that have joined or become part of the Army on or before November 30th of 2023 are eligible to take the survey.
And they get an email with instructions on how to access it.
Sure, they'll get an email. The email, the line will say something like evar.opm, and that'll give them instructions. It's their unique link to the Federal Employee Viewpoint Survey, and it's totally anonymous. So it's their unique link. If for some reason they didn't receive the link, they can contact me, Jim Stickney, and I can help them work with OPM to get a link if they didn't get one. If they think they're eligible and they didn't get one, get a hold of me and we'll make sure they get a link, or at least I'll be able to explain why they didn't get one this year.
And these aren't intrusive questions or personal questions. It's strictly about their opinions about their work environment and the command and so on.
Well, they are specifically address things that are going on within their work environment, work-life balance. They but they do also do ask some demographic questions. And the ATEC, our higher headquarters, is able to submit some questions that they would like put on the survey as well. So they did put a few of those on towards the end, but they're mostly the questions are trying to capture how you feel and what you think about your work and your work-life balance, your work environment, and how you perceive things that are going on within your world or your work world at here at YPG.
You've been honchoing the effort for YPG since 2016.
Yes.
So that means four commanders.
Correct.
Do those four commanders take the information they get from these surveys seriously?
They all do. They all take it. And I can say that the information is taken seriously from really from DOD all the way down to our commanders. And so what will happen is we're going to get dashboards every week. Like I shared a dashboard here for last week's survey, which I'm excited, I'm happy about. You know, we had the best week that we've ever had on a FEVS, 22.2%, I think it was, in a week. And it was a week where we were heading into a holiday weekend. So I appreciate everybody jumping on there and taking the survey. But yes, the commanders take it very seriously, all the way up, DOD, all the way down and everything. And it's you know, when it first came out, I was like, this is just another survey. I kind of was nonchalant about it when I was given the task to take and coordinate the survey. I really didn't take it that seriously because I didn't think it was going to be taken seriously. But I have seen commanders, because what I do at the when we do the roll-up at the end of the, I think the survey ends around 5 July. So usually by first part of August, mid-August, we'll get sort of an initial roll-up, and the commanders will be able to see how we as employees across YPG, Department of the Army Civilian Employees across YPG, have in a sense graded how we feel about what's going on within our work environment and how we feel about our leadership. They'll get to see that. And then it's anonymous, so there's nobody going to be pointed out or whatever, but when we look at the data as a whole, then we can identify what issues there may be that we need to address. So the commanders, just like they do with the command climate survey or whatever, they take it just as seriously. They take the FEVS just as seriously as they do as the command climate survey.
For all but 1 year that you've been doing this, YPG has had the highest participation rate of any command in ATEC.
Around the 8 years that I've been doing it, YPG all but last year has well exceeded the expectation. The Army's expectation has been 50% participation rate at Army as a whole. And I think in 2018, we were like at 90% participation. That's been our highest, but typically we're between 70 and 85% participation. But I want to caution everybody to not look at the survey just as a competition. Don't just take the survey to take it. Don't just rifle through the survey and just clickety-click-click. And that's not the idea behind it. The idea behind the survey is that we have useful information. Your voice gets to be heard. You get to however the questions are laid out, when you read them fully, understand them, answer them candidly and honestly, that's the way we get the best product. You've heard the term garbage in, garbage out. If you just take and go on there and start clicking away because you want to be the best in ATEC, which we are, YPG, in my opinion, is number one all the time. But I want to be number one with this survey, but I want the surveys also to be valuable to Department of Defense, to YPG, to ATEC as a whole. So we need to, as individuals, take them seriously because our leadership takes them seriously. That's the best way to get the best data to improve our the future for us, to improve our work-life balance and our environment at work and training opportunities and telework and remote work. All changes in those areas have come through people like us being honest and candid when we take the survey.
Hey, Jim, it's really good talking to you today.
Yeah, it is really great talking with you too. Thank you for having me.
This has been Outpost Outspoken. Thank you again for listening. We'll see you next time from the forefront of Army transformation.